Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered how many cell phones sell from a master distributor to these mom-and-pop cell phone stores? Well, I asked Ivan Valencia, who is head of purchasing at Ameritel, a master distributor that distributes to 3,500 mom-and-pop retail stores, and this is the amount of units he sells when I asked that question. Let me ask you this, Ivan. I see that you guys have about 3,500 stores that you guys are a master agent over. Is that about right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what is the monthly cell phone sales ballpark monthly on that?
Monthly, so it's probably over $1 million ballpark.
Well, $1 million?
$1.2 million.
Okay.
$1.2 million, $1.5 million.
The next individual is Joel Schlesinger, one of our current distributor accounts from Tri-State Distributors. And you'll hear him stating he has reordered additional demos to send to his dealers in our conversation.
Opportunities come, opportunities go, and, you know, get on the boat, try to ride it out.
Okay. So, Philly, I have some strong relationships in Philadelphia, working at CBS Records and us being the arm for Gamble and Huff at the time.
I met a lot of talented musicians back in the day between MFSB and, you know, TSOP label and knowing Kenny Gamble and Leon and the musicians that they brought through. Who influenced you as a drummer? And matter of fact, let me just preface this question by saying there was a guy in a group called Double Exposure, and he was the best drummer. I can't think of his name now. I think he passed. I had ever seen. He used two bass drums, and he was phenomenal out of Philadelphia. Who were some of the drummers that you might have influenced you?
There were a lot coming up because there were in church. There was always somebody that was just that dude, you know. So back then, there was a guy named Vernon Johnson that. Coming up, he was the drummer in church, you know, that I looked up to. And then fast forward, then my uncle, Kevin Outerbridge, he was a jazz drummer, and he was just like, I was just like, when I realized that he played, I was just like, okay, yeah. Studied with him, and then moving forward, Little John Roberts through middle school and high school, I was just like in awe of his playing, and then meeting Brian Fraser Moore, you know, all Philly cats, you know, that just were that dude, you know, Brian Moore and Little John Roberts are still that dude, those dudes, you know, still playing and set new records and new milestones in music.
Gotcha. Well, you know, playing drums and then putting I guess you played in a lot of, I would say, bands back in the day. What were some of the local bands that you played with down in New York?
Well, I mean, I pretty much, coming up, I was just playing in church and then playing in school. You know, in high school, with performing arts, you know, we had jazz band, we actually had show performances, so they treated us like we were actually performing, like doing Broadway shows. So we had shows, we were actually doing real rehearsals, doing tech rehearsals. So we were getting life experiences in high school at performing arts. And so, you know, then we had small groups, and then things formed out of this and that, you know. And then, you know, so that was that, you know. Out of high school, you know, I played with a group with some friends. I can't remember the name of that group, but it was a gospel group. It was like, I think it was like six guys that were singing and keyboard, bass, and drums. I can't even remember the name of the group, but, you know, we went around Philly singing and playing gospel music. Yeah, and then life moved on from there. Just playing with I'm trying to remember groups now. It was like, wow, no one's asking that question.
I always like to go back to the beginning because that's usually, you know, where the roots are formulated. So
yeah.
Let's step up the time scale a little bit after, you know,
okay.
Church and working with those different groups. Who was the first major artist that you got on with, and how did that come about?
First major group was James J.T. Taylor from Cooley Gang.
Okay.
This is when he finally left the group. And,
yeah, Cooley Gang.
Finally went solo. It was a band from Philadelphia. Well, we weren't actually a band, but we were all core members from Philadelphia. I got the gig through Johnny Croom. He's a drummer to start out with, but he also plays keys. He was also Boyz II Men's music director when they first started. You know, and
okay.
He put the band together, and, you know, we knew each other from playing open mics and doing little club gigs and bar gigs around Philly. He asked me if I wanted to do it. I said, sure. We went up to New York, went to Funkadelic to do the audition and got the gig.
Okay. Okay. JT Taylor, my man. Yeah, me and JT go long with and Cool and the Gang. Oh, yeah, they've been on our show. I know Cool personally. Oof, we go too far back. So anyway, you know, and that's a great introduction. It's ironic that he was doing R&B at the time, but you know, he sang with one of the most premier jazz bands in the country, to be perfectly honest with you. And they were, I would say, around the time, or maybe even before. Well, I don't know what Earth, Wind & Fire was doing before they became Earth, Wind & Fire, but I know.
I think they were called the Pyros. I think I read something about that. I think they were called the Pyros or something like that. Because I was actually looking up like early records, and something came up like that.
Well, I knew them as Earth, Wind & Fire, and that was because I knew when Maurice White, a drummer,
yes,
playing with Ramsey Lewis at the time.
Yeah.
He was a jazz drummer. He formulated the group, you know. So I know they came from his vision of being a jazz drummer. And then that was the first time, well, I won't say the first. The first time that jazz, I think, was introduced to R&B, and I will always give credit where credit was due, was the Chord Changers of Stevie Wonder. And Stevie Wonder changed R&B forever when he came out. And then Earth, Wind & Fire and Cool & the Gang, they both took it to another level. And those would be the two groups that I say were had jazz backgrounds that influenced the Chord Changers and the change in R&B. With that being said, so I read about your bio. You have played with many other, you know, major recording artists. Why don't you tell our audience some of the major recording artists that you had played after you'd been with JT?
I got to play with Pastor Daryl Coley. I was working for Miss Lauryn Hill for a while. Still did work for her from time to time. I'm trying to remember it now. My brain is going blank. Elder Barge.
Okay.
Yeah, my brain is going blank. I got to work with Usher, working with Ray Chu. I do a lot of things with Ray Chu, so, you know, he calls his band in, and we just play for different artists. So we got to work with Usher, got to work with Pharrell, Sheila E. I actually worked with Sheila E.'s father because he was on the gig as well. Paul Schaefer. Brain is drawing a blank right now. Yeah, that's a good start for some people I've worked with.
So then, after being with all these major artists and playing behind them, what made you decide, because you said early on you were singing, you know, from day one, what made you decide at this time that you would put a band together and come out as a singer and do your own songs?
Well, I mean, I've always believed in my teachers have always pushed, don't just be a man. You have a voice, and, you know, you hear music in your own way, you know, different from the artist. And some of them were side men, side women, and sometimes some of them not. And push your dreams as well. If that's just to be a side man for all your life, that's fine, and there's nothing wrong with that. But also push to do what's in your heart and what you're hearing musically, you know. You know, somebody has to hear it, and, you know, and I'm the type of person, I'm always creating something, and, you know, obviously it's for a reason. Spirit life experiences happen, and, you know, if it comes out in a song, if it comes out in a picture or painting, it's meant to be shared. It's meant to touch somebody. So that's how I view it. I'm like, okay, I'm hearing all these songs from life experiences, whether it's a vocal piece or just
questions. So out of the EP that you've done, and I know it's always hard for to answer this main question, which would you say is your favorite off the EP? That I guess is your quote unquote baby.
I give it the story of my wife and I meeting. Can you hear me?
James, would you repeat that again? You were breaking up a little bit.
sorry. First song I was going to is Give It a Chance. And because of my wife and I meeting and for love, you know, not many people really get to find somebody that they can fall in love with and consider their best friend. You know, relationships have ups and downs, but at the end of the day, have somebody that really has your back and you have their back as well. So that would be my baby.
Well, as you probably know, this show mingles in on the purpose of it is the Love Zone is for our audience to get information so they can be better at dating in hopes of meeting the woman or man of their dreams. That's why we call it the Love Zone. So we do a lot of discussion about sex, relationships, and marriage, and I'll put you in the hot seat for one quick second, and then we'll take you out of it. But I want to put you in the Love Zone hot seat. And how did you meet your wife?
I was the house in New York City, in West Village. And it was actually on a short bus rally. And
not to cut you off, you were breaking up a little bit again. And maybe
okay.
You could,
can you hear
I can
me better
hear you
now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I was the house drummer at the Village Underground in New York City in the West Village. And Cheryl Pepsi Raleigh, the singer, she was doing an open mic on a Monday night. And I was hanging with some friends, and it was like, one of my friends, she was like, you need to meet this young lady. And she's a violinist. And I think you two would kick it off, you know. So I introduced myself. She really wasn't trying to give me no play, but I was persistent. And then she played, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm really enthralled now. And it just went from there. And 8 years later, we're married, one child, and pushing our music together.
Oh, great, great. So y'all were both musicians. That was a commonality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. And congratulations on 8 years, because you know, that 7 years where they say it usually goes left, but if you pass, if you've gotten through that wall, you're pretty much home sailing at that point. I guess one of the other questions I have for you, being now as a solo artist on your own and with the band, are you guys currently touring, or what's going on with the band and you as
well? Right now, I'm not touring because working on new music and just trying to get the band pushed and trying to get moving, do some playing around New York City. But as we know, the climate has changed with music, so it's a different game now, ball game. So it's like trying to figure out how to get the band out and coming from being the side man, because I still play with other artists. And, you know, so I have to find a balance to try to do that and try to push my music as well. So right now we're actually going to do Brick TV, which is a cable access TV show in Brooklyn, which airs through New York on Thursday, this coming Thursday. And just trying to book shows right now and working on a new record. I'm actually going to release a new single I believe the end of April.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Great. Well, we got about a minute left, And I'd like to close with asking you, I'm going to give the information about your website and how they can give you, get your music. After we close up the interview. But what I'd like for you to answer is, why should our audience buy your music? What is different? What is unique? What is the message? What about your music would you want the audience to know as to why James Ross Biscuit himself has done this music?
Well, I would say my music, at the core of it, is about love and different experiences in love, whether good and bad or bad, you know, because all of it is relevant, you know, to make us whole, heal us, make us better, you know, or just to touch somebody else. And I believe in making people dance, you know, to the music. And, you know, that's pretty much it. And then I hope my music makes them smile or have a flashback to a memory, whether that's good or bad.
Well, on that note, I'm going to close with thanking you for coming on our show. Good to talk to
you. Thank you for having me.
And we are going to be playing it here at the Love Zone, so you can rest assured of that. James, hey, thanks, man, for coming on the show, and you know, appreciate your
time. My pleasure.
And when you get that album or you cut something new, let us know about it. Tell your man Luther, we here.
I will. Indeed.
We've been here for 8 years, and we ain't not going nowhere.
Word.
So, next time you're in New York, is there an email address where I can email you? Maybe you can shoot me over a note and I can come and check you guys out. Have you been at BB King's as of yet?
Yeah, I play there. Last time I played there was with Vivian Green when she did her record release for the new record, V6. That was December, I believe it was.
Oh, no, I'd definitely like to see you with the band because I've checked you out on YouTube and there was no question via your resume. Y'all got the groove, so.
Thank you.
And I've seen a monstrous amount of artists in my day. I've worked with some of the best in the industry, including Maurice White, because I was at CBS when we promoted his music. So I know between him and Michael Jackson,
yeah.
I haven't seen the best. So that's my temperature check, whether, you know, how good somebody is. And that's a hard thing to put people against, but that's my reference point. I can't help it.
Oh, yeah.
When you've seen the best, you always, you know, measure people against that. And you guys definitely got a future. You definitely got a future, for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Leave me your email address, and I'll shoot you mine. I'll email you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's jayrouse@hotmail.com.
Okay. I'll send you my info, and next time you guys are in New York, you know, shoot us a line. I'd like to promote the show, and I'm going to try
indeed,
to get over
indeed.
There. Hey,
I appreciate it.
It is a pleasure. Okay, man. You take care. All right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.